We turn humbly to God and we ask for help because we believe He is the all-perfect one and the source of all goodness. And because we believe He is all-merciful, the source of all love and mercy whereby we come to life and we stay alive. And we turn to Him because we believe He is Rahim, His mercy is endless. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet of Islam, who is the most perfect role model sent for the guidance of mankind till the end of time, and also on his holy progeny, who are the next best in perfection after him. Honorable elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. In our discussion about the du'as that we ought to recite or which we can recite either in salah or after salah, I would like to reflect and share some of the meanings contained in this du'a of Ahad. It's very impressive, on a regular basis here, daily after Salatul Subh, this dua is being recited. But oftentimes, it's not enough just to recite it mechanically. We need to ponder on some of the meanings of this dua. It's a wonderful dua. Can we have the next slide, please? And if you look at the source of the dua, Marhum Sheikh Abbas Qummi says that this is from Biharul Anwar of Allama Majlisi. Majlisi, rahmatullah alayhi, quotes it from one of the old textbooks. He calls it Kitabul Atiq of Dua. And he says this book contains a collection of du'as which are amazing in their content. They're quite eloquent and complete, comprehensive du'as. An eminent scholar and personality like Sayyid ibn Tawus in his book, Muhajud Da'awat. Sayyid ibn Tawus was a famous scholar, very respectable, and it is known amongst the some of elite circles of ulama that there are few ulama who occupy a very high position, and they've managed to attain proximity to the Holy Imam, the 12th Holy Imam. One of them is Sayyid ibn Tawus. You know, it's very difficult for someone to be able to see the Imam, one, and to recognize him at the time of meeting. Two, to be able to see him and recognize him is an achievement. Three, to be able to be visited by him frequently is even a greater achievement. Sayyid belonged to this third group. And the third reason why this dua is reliable is that the ulama, the Shia ulama, have popularly accepted it. Even if, and this is an important criteria to judge the veracity and the reliability of a dua or a hadith, there are some scholars who are so adept at recognizing the veracity of a hadith. From its content, you can judge, could this have been issued from a ma'asum or not? They claim that this dua, just from its content, look at its words, look at its phrases, they're so eloquent, they're so deep in meaning, that definitely it should be from a ma'asum source, even though perhaps we cannot specify the chain of narrators. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. If we can just pick out the main themes in this dua. Incidentally, there are two versions. There's a short version, there's a long version. I'm just going to briefly discuss the shorter version. Allahumma balligh maulana sahib al-zaman. The three questions which are being answered. O Allah, we want to send our salutations and our greetings and our expression of respect, of allegiance, of loyalty. We want to send our greetings to this person. Who is this person? One. Two. From whom are we sending these greetings? Incidentally, this dua teaches us the adab that, you know, when you pray, don't pray for yourself only, but pray for others also. Two. The greetings is from whom? And three, what greetings are we sending? After sending the greetings, then number four is, we are making a promise to you. And number five, now we've got a prayer. That's the summary of the dua. Next slide, please. The shorter version just says, Allahumma balligh mawlaya sahib al-zaman. The longer version says, Allahumma balligh mawlana al-imam al-hadi al-mahdi al, and then the fifth title for which you may have to respectfully stand, the one who is going to rise up and take up the task of spreading the message on a global level. Five qualities described to this imam. The reason I respect him, the dua wants to say, and the reason I bow down before him is because of his qualities. Number one, he's my mawla, he's my master. He has been authorized by God to become the master of the age, sahib al-zaman. Why? Because lahu mulku as-samawati wal-ard, the authority, the mastership and the lordship belongs to God and God alone. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. But you can grant this authority to whomsoever you will, or remove it from whomsoever you will. Two. Three. If he is the source of all authority, and he can grant to whomsoever he wants. And three. Whomsoever he wants. Oh, incidentally, God doesn't work haphazardly. He works on the basis of wisdom. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'al risalata. He knows whom to select and who qualifies. Three. Four, the qualification of this man to be selected to this position is mentioned in some of the verses in the Quran where he says that وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. In their conviction and in their thinking and in their faith, these individuals were at the highest level of certainty and conviction that they could not be shaken, therefore they could be entrusted with this heavy task of leadership. And number two, not only in their thinking, in their practical lives, their level of sabr, of perseverance, of endurance, was so high that the Prophet is challenged, if the whole of mankind stands up against you, لا تكلف إلا نفسك, you don't take one step behind. Imam Hussein's case was different. The Prophet was entrusted with a much bigger task, and he did not flinch. In the level of conviction, one, which translates into action as courage, two, these people were at the highest level, and therefore they were selected to become the leaders. So I respect him, and I bow down before him, because he is authorized, because he has been selected, and because of his conviction and courage. And he's the Imam. The Quran says that Imam is he who can guide, not only physically, but more important, he can guide spiritually. In his absence, physical absence, oh, incidentally, some scholars say he's not physically absent, it's we who are absent from his presence. He guides spiritually, meaning that he has influence over our hearts. يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. That's the description given in the Quran about the Imam. They guide by our amr. Question, what is to guide by the amr of the Lord? Well, there are two meanings. Amr means God commands and they obey. But there's another deeper meaning. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. His amr belongs to that timeless world. In that timeless world, the moment the will is made, the object of desire or will immediately and instantaneously materializes. And that, therefore, that belongs to the world of ruh. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Imam guides by Amr. Ruh belongs to Amr. Therefore, Imam guides at the level of the ruh. Excuse me. So I believe he's the Mawla, one. And I believe he's the Imam, two. And therefore, he's the guide to my heart, three. If I'm ready and willing to receive, my heart can be inspired by the Imam. Four, not only is the Hadi, he's the Mahdi, meaning that he constantly receives inspiration and guidance from the absolute source, and he channels it then to individuals who deserve to be guided. And number five, he's ever ready. He's ever ready. The leader is ready to execute the plan. The plan is ready to be executed. The people are not ready to take up their duties. So this dua reminds me that I've got a heavy responsibility to enable myself and to train myself to get to the level of carrying out this particular duty. Next slide, please. Oh Lord, send these greetings to this man who has got these qualities. But from whom? Not only from me. It's not عني only. عن جميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات وعن والدي وعن ولدي. From my parents, from my progeny. And in fact, from all the believers, on behalf of all the believers, في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها برها وبحرها سهلها وجبلها. حيهم وميتهم. Be they males or females, living or dead, land or traveling in the sea, mountainous areas or flat lands, basically everywhere. It's an interesting adab of dua to expand the dua to include 10 believers, 40 believers, all believers. Look at this riwayah, which is narrated from the Holy Prophet, where he says that مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ دَعَى مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ دَعَى بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ. There is no single servant but that who calls out and prays and supplicates to God for the forgiveness or for any haja or need to be fulfilled of for his brothers in their absence. إِلَّا رَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِثْلَ الَّذِي دَعَ لَهُمْ. But that God, out of his mercy, answers this person's prayer before he answers it for the other believers. A purely material example. I had an important document to give to someone to bring it here. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm burdening you with this. He says, no, it's not a burden. It's an insurance. So long as I take this with me, your prayers are with me. The riwayah says, when you pray for somebody else, you give somebody else priority over yourself. نُودِيَ مِنَ الْعَرْشِ. The answer comes from the arsh, the highest level of authority. وَلَكَ مِثْلُهُ. The angel is instructed that his prayer should be granted even before that other brother's prayer. And of course, depending on the spirit of sacrifice, how much priority you give to whom and how many do you include in your prayer. The answer that comes is not only before his prayer is granted, in fact, every other believer will begin to pray for you, especially at a time, the riwayah says, on the day of judgment, if this person has been a sinner and his sins have not been forgiven, either he didn't ask enough tawbah here, or his barzakh, he wasn't punished enough, or on the day of judgment he failed to receive shafa'a, one of the people who will make shafa'a for him is these mu'mineen whom he prayed for in the dunya. We receive his prayers in the dunya, we want to make shafa'a for him on that day. Look at the spirit of brotherhood that has been encouraged in our dua. Next slide, please. And I want the greetings to be sent not only on my behalf and on behalf of all the believers, but also on behalf of my parents, walidayya, wawuldi, and my children also. If parents have raised their children in such a way that the child is now on the path of virtue, then that famous hadith which says that when the child says Bismillah, even before the child is rewarded, the parents are rewarded. Even before the greetings I send to anyone, it should be on behalf of all my benefactors. And the primary benefactors I have are the parents who bring me up. And this is an adab of a dua which is there even from the prophets. Chapter 14 is Surah Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim, رَبَّنَا غْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Prophet Nuh, chapter 71, Surah Nuh. رَبِّ غْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا. Chapter 17, Surah Isra, ayah number 24. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. The Holy Prophet is instructed. All the prophets did that. Why? Because they recognize. Whoever does something good to you, you have to reciprocate, appreciate, affirm, and reciprocate. Parents are the primary benefactors, if, of course, they've succeeded in leading a person to the right path. Next slide, please. So, I want to send greetings to whom? The Imam. On behalf of whom? Myself, my parents, and my progeny, and all the believers, too. What greetings do I want to send? Min as-salawati wa tahiyyat. I want to send him greetings. How much greetings? Plentiful. How plentiful? As much as I can. How much is as much as you can? This is where now the expanse of our faith is reflected. Zinata arshillah. Zina meaning wazn. The measure of the arsh of the Lord. Wa midada kalimatih. And the measure of the pen that can write his words too. Wa adada ma ahsahu. كتابه وأحاط به علمه. As far as the knowledge of God can expand, as far as the book meaning the record meaning the reflection of the knowledge of God that governs the universe, Arsh, in Surah Arsh, not meaning the physical throne, Arsh meaning the seat or the throne of power and knowledge. In Surah Yunus, for example, notice how the Arsh has been described. Chapter 10, right in the beginning, Allah says, don't worship the small gods that you've created for yourself. Worship the true God. You know who the true God is? Surah Yunus, chapter 10, ayah number 3. Inna rabbakum, your true Lord and Master, is Allah, one. Allazi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard, who has created the heavens and the earth, two. Fi sittati ayyam, and he created it not instantaneously, he created it gradually. The material world is based on the cause and effect which gradually manifest themselves. You can't plant a seed and instantaneously grows up in a tree. It needs time to develop for the chemical, physical reactions to take place, for the changes to come about. That's how the laws of the physical world are. He created the heavens and the earth in six stages. ثُمَّ إِسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. And then he assumed control of the arsh. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ. He's the one who governs the affairs. You see, the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet, they did accept that there is Allah. But they said, our daily affairs, well, we've got these idols whom we should turn to. Allah says, no. The true God is the same God who is the creator. The true God is the same God who is the all-perfect being. The true God is the same God who governs moment by moment the universe. You don't turn to any power other than Him. arsh as a symbol, as a metaphor, as a manifestation of God's authority, of God's knowledge, of God's power, which is unlimited. I want to send salawat. How much? As much as possible. I can't express it. I think one of the best ways to express it, the dua says, is as wide as the arsh of God, as wide as the book of God, as wide as the pen that records the words of God. Not the words of God only that appear in the book of Torah and Zabur and Injil and Quran, but the word meaning the creation of God. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ Surah An'am. There is no dry or wet. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطْ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ Everything is within the knowledge of God. Nothing escapes Him. No dry, no wet. No high, no low. No big, no small. Escapes His knowledge. Everything is in the book of God, in the knowledge of God. Next slide, please. Let me stop here for the moment. In brief, what we have reflected upon is this dua teaches us to communicate and express our greetings to whom? The Imam. Why? Not blind faith. I believe in him and I respect him and I bow down before him because he truly is the master. Why does he qualify to become the master? Because he's the highest in perfection as far as conviction and courage is concerned. Essential qualities in a leader. One. Two. Greetings not only on my behalf, that's selfish. But dua teaches us to be of universal brotherhood on behalf of every believer. Three. And of my benefactors, especially my parents and the progeny that I leave behind. And four, the greetings that I send. The highest greetings possible, which are expressed in the form that greeting which is included in the knowledge of God. Inshallah, we'll continue in the next session. Let's pray to Allah to give us the tawfiq to be able to engage in this constant reciprocal communication with the master of our age and therefore qualify to receive his constant guidance and inspiration.